Yes, well, what a game it was. And the coach of the Sydney Swans has been good enough to join us, John Longmire. John, thanks for your time. Can you believe you got away with that?
Well, I watched a bit of the game last night when I got home, so started to comprehend it a little bit more than what I did immediately afterwards. Immediately afterwards, it was still a bit of a blur, really. I mean, it was incredible. The players were fantastic that last sort of 3.5-4 minutes.
Who took control in that 3 minute period?
We haven't had a debrief of it. We did that on Monday, but from what I understand, I think they're all pretty good. We've gone, you know, as all teams do. You go through the game state, and, different. You're up and you're down, and we've done that. We haven't been on the right side of the ledger a few times, and I think they helped get it right last night.
What, did a lot change in those 3 minutes of the way you go about it? There was a lot more abandoning of the game plan. It was an urgency. We've got to score. Does it make you think to yourself, geez, I might have to maybe not be so defensively minded and start playing like that full time?
We're defensively minded?
Generally as a footy team, I think you're a pretty strong defensively minded team. In that last 3 minutes, it was attack, attack, attack?
We generally like to attack when we've got the ball and defend when the opposition have got it. And we like to attack aggressively when we've got the ball and defend when the opposition have got it. It's pretty simple. I mean, we might have played on a little bit quicker in that last couple of minutes, but generally we like to play aggressive footy. And, I mean, we just kicked inaccurately the first half and that didn't help us.
The first half wasn't a great watch horse, to be honest, but that second half, when it got rolling, Essendon really played some aggressive corridor football that was, I think, at levels we haven't seen Essendon at for quite some time. How difficult was it to contain their scoring? I know they kicked 7 goals in a row, and maybe you say you didn't contain them, but they are quite a force at the moment, aren't they?
Oh, they're a really good side. I mean, they're a quick side, and you've got a good balance of running players and marking tools, and they're a really good side. And I thought that the third quarter, most of the quarter, we were on top. We weren't getting a result on the scoreboard. That makes a big difference. And then the last couple of minutes of that third quarter, they got through some good pressure that we're putting on. They were able to break it open a little bit and go forward and kick goals. And that sort of, with the scoreboard pressure, there's nothing like it.
I know I'm asking you about Essendon, but often we get more out of the opposition coach than we do the coach of their own teams. What did you try and curtail with the Bombers? What was the specific two or three things that you thought, with the way they play, that they posed the greatest challenge?
We knew that they were one of the best teams to transition the ball from their defensive 50 to their forward 50. They're one of, if not the best team, but doing it. So we were absolutely conscious of that. Trying to get that right, and I thought we did that pretty well. We just didn't get the reward that we liked to, and they were then able to get that. When we didn't do it that well, they were able to score.
John, what role does the coach play these days in the footwear that players wear? Because I saw players slip over all day long, and I can imagine, if I go back to my coach, my ears are still ringing from the times he told me to change my boots. Clearly, it didn't appear that the players changed their boots. A lot slipped over. And I think for both teams, often it was the defender would slip and allow then the forward to get off the lead.
Blame the defenders.
Not blaming the defenders, but it just, it's very costly when a defender slips over.
Absolutely, it's costly. We talk about it a lot. I mean, there was extremely heavy dew coming down in our reserves, and where reserves played before the game, and you could sense in the last quarter of our reserves games that it was really wet. And we spoke to the players about it, and their view is that they had the right footwear and they just kept slipping over.
Do you buy that?
What do you do? Well, you challenge the players and make sure you get the right footwear, make sure you do this, make sure you do that, get it right. Have you got the right footwear? Yes, I have. They are the best boots for this type of conditions, and you have to back them in.
Mills, Newman and Lloyd, you're getting enormous drive off your half back line. Has that been by design with the way that the game has gone, that you've looked to not load up there but really put a heavy emphasis on those players playing in those positions, or more just the skill set that they bring is where they're best suited?
Oh, I think you've got to be, most teams have some midfielder types at half back, and you need that to make sure you get the bounce. You've got to have a good mix of defensively minded players and players that can also defend and attack with ball in hand and get you, 25 to 30 possessions and get some rebounds. And those players are pretty good at that. It's what we did last year with both of those boys, and they've continued on pretty good form this year.
How do you balance that up, John? Is the discussion with them, you must be a great defender, or are you prepared to wear that they may not defend as well one-on-one in order for you to get the good stuff that they bring, the bounce and the rebound and the run and carry?
I think it's always a balance. It's always a balance of getting that right. I mean, those two boys defend pretty well. I mean, Callum Mills in one-on-one's probably for a second-year player at a really high level at that. You'd like to get the best of both worlds if you can, defend and with absolute vigour and intensity and being able to attack it. But, it's very hard to get the perfect world and the perfect player. And, we think that those boys get the mix pretty right.
Two questions on Sam Reid, John. I mean, you must be pleased with his performance and standing up. And secondly, how do you feel in the environment that we are in that trades and free agency and everyone goes, you got to go get Sam Reid, Do you think that's healthy for the competition to have opposition clubs or not opposition clubs, but just media people just continually speculating that Sam Reid, go and get Sam Reid?
Yeah, look, I mean, first of all, I think he's had a pretty solid year. He's been fairly consistent for us. Last week he took 7 contested marks and, he's been an important player for us. Probably really missed him last year in that role. I think he's been pretty good this year. And the second point about the free agency, I mean, can't do much about it. I know the Players Association have been wanting it for a long time. There's absolutely some in favour, some aren't. And in the end, for Tim, you've just got to deal with it as a coach, and every club goes through it, and every club has those players in that situation. So you've just got to deal with it and not let it distract you. And only because media talk about it doesn't mean it should distract you from what you need to do from week to week and answer the questions honestly and get on the job.
What are the protocols? Do you leave it to Tom Harley, or do you talk to Sam on that level, on that personal level, about his future?
Yeah. I generally leave it to Tom talking to the managers. But if players want to come to me and ask me what their plans are or what our plans are and where we see them playing and their roles going forward, absolutely I'll sit down with them and have a chat with them about it. So it's sort of, I really don't get involved unless I get asked to and they think it's worthwhile or the player wants the clarification on where they see their role. So that's when I sit down with them and if required and have a chat with them and just be as honest as what I can be.
I know I'm pushing here, but have you had that conversation with Sam?
Not yet. No, I haven't. I mean, his role is pretty clear with us. He's a key forward.
Take marks, kick goals.
Play marks and kick goals.
It's a good relationship.
And he plays an important role for us. So hopefully he knows he's pretty clear in that role. But if I'm required to, I'll sit down with him, absolutely. I mean, I sit down with him every week and talk about his game and have a good relationship with him, have a good relationship with all the players, hopefully. But, if required, I'll do it.
Horse, it was fantastic vision last night. I know that we often show the coach's box when you guys are going off your head and we have a bit of a chuckle about it, but at the end of the game last night, there was one shot where you just put your head into your hands. You looked like you were drained and stressed to the max. It's been that way the last couple of weeks, and then you come on today and you say that the last couple of minutes are a bit of a blur and you probably need to see it again last night when you get home. Just let us in a little bit how that actually takes you on that ride. The game just takes you to that point in the last couple of moments.
Well, probably key the first point about that, and it, with there's 3:50 to go, there's not a lot you can do, and you're very much in the hands of your players in that situation. You just can't do much, and that's when you're used to having a say as coaches are in a lot of different things in the footy department, making sure that can be you sit there and just watch and hopefully they get it done. What I was confident in is they were doing what we wanted them to do at the certain times, and we needed a bit of luck then. And so I understood what was going on in regards to some of the structural things that they were doing. They were getting it done. And, when the siren goes, it was very rarely do you come back from 19 points down with 3 minutes 50 to go. It doesn't happen too often.
No, it doesn't happen at all. I can't remember the last time I saw that happen. But how aware do you make your players of the time, how long there is to go? And whose role is that? And does that, do you have an automated process with that? Does the runner just keep a track of it? And does he stay out there? How does it work?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got folks in the roles in the box that are able to do that and funnel that down to the players on the bench, and then they get it as cross as best they can to the players out on the ground. It's interesting, the MCG last week was on the screen going around the boundary line on the fence. And so some of the players were able to see by looking at the fence on the MCG about what the time and how long it had to go left, had to go. And
good or bad, John?
Handy. I think that stressed the Richmond players out. John, was that good? Is it good
Did
or
you
bad?
Set that up, John?
Is it good or bad for you? Do you think that's a good idea for the players?
Look, I think for the fans and supporters, they're probably better off not having it.
I agree.
What about the players?
For the players, I think it's very handy. But I think if you're a supporter, I think some of the tension and not knowing when it's going to be the siren, I think is probably a good thing.
Do you think, just a general philosophical question, about, do you think as enough free kicks are paid in football, John? And I'm going to bring one up, and I don't want you to criticise the umpires, okay? I don't want you to do it. So when you were watching the review last night,
if you want.
Did you get to the third quarter when Luke Parker ran down down McGrath?
Yeah, yeah. So 40
metres
out.
40 metres out. Now, let's be honest.
They showed him in the box.
How were you feeling? And when you watched it again, how were you feeling?
Well, how do you reckon?
But don't criticise the other one.
It was a mistake.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
a bad one, though.
It looked pretty clear, but, I mean, I'm sure there was others in the game going both ways. And, there were some interesting decisions in the end with the goal review, and I haven't had a good chance to have a good look at that this morning. But, you're just hoping that in their umpire's review today that they assess where they went well and where they didn't.
Just for a second, Kingy, are you a guy, John, who honestly believes in the swings and roundabouts of football? Or do you say, no, we've got to treat each one on its merit, and then you ring up the AFL umpiring department on Monday and say, what about A, B, C, D and E?
Look, I think in general, we've got to try and get it as best we can. Every decision, like every part of the game that we try and work on and work feverishly on trying to get right every week. And I think the umpires are the same. And I'm not sure about the swings and roundabouts. Let's just make sure we get it as good as we can get it.
John, Josh Kennedy, outstanding last night, really, and turned the game for mine last week. Almost mirrored the form of the club early on in terms of a slower start, then got his game going. With the captaincy and the position that requires and the time and the effort, has that been a period of adjustment for him or unrelated in the sense that just feeling comfortable with the role had an effect on his early season form?
Early season form was pretty solid. Early season form was pretty good. And it wasn't his absolute best, but his absolute best is a pretty high level. He wasn't far off it, though. He was probably one of our, if not our most consistent senior player during that period. And so, I think his form last night was superb. But I think the senior players in general lifted after the first few weeks, and our younger players in particular in that first few weeks were quite good, and they've been able to maintain their intensity. There's no doubt there's an adjustment period as any captain. And he's learned a lot, as anyone would in that role, as a new coach does as well. But I think he's handled the job pretty well this year.
Have I missed a delisting during the year? What's happened to Alira Lear? Is he still alive? What's going on with him? Where is he?
Yeah, we've gone to play him a few times here. And once he missed a training session, he was in the team. And then he played reserves. And then he got back and he was got back into some form. He played a couple of quiet weeks. He missed most of the pre-season, played some really quiet weeks. Got back into some good form and then got injured again last week. He probably would have been a chance, if not almost a guarantee, of playing last night in the seniors, but he hurt his knee 15 minutes into the last quarter last week, hurt his medial, and couldn't play. So every time he's looked like playing senior football, something's happened to him.
So how far away do you think? Does he have to virtually start again, having missed a week, or how far away would he be from?
Not sure. We'll see how he goes this week. We'll have a look at the opposition. Lewis Mellican's done a pretty good job for us coming in as a young defender in his first year. We've been happy with him, but we're really keen to get Aliyah back in the senior team as soon as we can. And hopefully his knee pulls up this week and he's back in the selection frame.
John, well done. Great performance last night at the end. Amazing drama, and we appreciate chatting to us today.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
John Longmire, our special guest on Crunch Time.